You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and here with us today to continue to analyze the Ravens' 41-17 loss to the Cincinnati Bengals in Week 7 is Spencer Schultz of Baltimore Beatdown. And Spencer, I know that for this Ravens team, it was a very disappointing effort, especially in the second half. This was a close game in the first half, and the Ravens actually held the lead early in the third quarter, but the Bengals put their foot on the gas. The Ravens couldn't get anything going, and we have that 41-17 defeat. How are you doing today?
Doing quite well. Ravens enter the bye week at 5-2. Obviously, Bengals now the one seed in the AFC, so they have not turned back into a pumpkin in the month of October. The Bengals are a serious threat. They have a good defense and a explosive offense, so they're a real threat, and they're probably going to be one for years to come. Ravens had a little bit of their own, you know, Cinderella, anti-Cinderella story before midnight, turning into a pumpkin and not being able to tackle, having some of the recurring themes, you know, pressure from the offensive line, unable to create a ton of movement against a good defense in the run game, some of those things. So they get to self-scout. It was maybe for the best to humble them and make them really dive deep into changes that could be made, as the bye week is the only real time you get to kind of assess and see what changes you can make and trim some fat out of the playbook and rely on some better concepts overall, you know, generally. So loss comes at an okay time, considering it's October, considering the bye, considering the trade deadline's coming up, so they can analyze what they need to do there. And ultimately, you know, the Ravens are probably still going to be a playoff team, at the worst, fighting for it down to the last week, I would think. So it's going to be a fun season in the second half. We're getting into the quarter months, and the Ravens need to figure out a couple ways to be more consistent game to game, quarter to quarter, drive to drive on both sides of the ball. But it's exciting. It's, you know, from a fan perspective, it's exciting to see the Bengals become a real threat again. All four teams in this AFC North are frisky. So here we are.
Yeah, the AFC North, it's going to be good for a long time. And Spencer, when you look at the offensive side of the ball, we'll start there for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson, you know, nothing spectacular, 15 of 31, 257 yards, one touchdown through the air. You know, it seemed like a lot of the stuff surrounding Lamar Jackson in this game, sometimes holding the ball for a bit too long and taking some sacks, not taking some of the short stuff that the Bengals were giving them at times and just seeing if you could convert some of those. But the offense in the first half kind of moving the ball a little bit. They punted from the Bengals 40 or around the Bengals 40. I believe it was twice throughout the entire game. The running game didn't really get going in this one outside of Lamar Jackson. But sticking with Jackson, and we can go into his receiving weapons as well. I thought Rashad Bateman looked good again. Marquise Brown had a nice toe-tap touchdown in there. Did you see anything that Lamar Jackson can maybe take into this bye week and improve upon? And what did you see that impressed you?
Certainly. I think that when teams, and if there is, you know, we've always joked and laughed and had discussions and hot takes about the blueprint to stop Lamar Jackson, well, I think it's having an athletic defensive front that can get some pressure with four. And I think it's being able to play really sound zone defense on the back end. And I don't think that's a surprise, because guess what? It's what's been limiting Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. It's just good defense. That is a defensive coordinator's dream, is to be able to get some pressure with four, have a disciplined back end, able to limit big plays. You know, even though they do have a great spectacular deep ball to Marquise Hollywood Brown in this one. But so the answer is, look at what Tom Brady's done. It's, you know, and that can be laughed at, of course, quickly, but sometimes you got to take the low hanging fruit. The check down needs to be quicker. When a defense is playing off coverage, you need to hit the three-step routes, the three-step slant, the three-step curl, the quick hitting routes, so that you can suck the defense up with the pass game, make them respect, you know, the entire 53-yard width of the field in the pass game, and then you can hit them over top again. So I think the Bengals will provide a nice look in the mirror for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, who, you know, if your offensive line struggling a little bit, got to get the ball out. If they're playing off, got to be simpatico with your receivers, get the ball out quickly. So some of those things, but Lamar had a couple great throws in this game, some great throws to Mark Andrews. At one point, there's that floating pass on 3rd and 5. Mark Andrews has 2 20-yard receptions on one drive, lobs one between defenders, is able to have Mark Andrews go up and get the ball. Mark Andrews looked great. Him and Lamar have looked great. And, you know, Marquise Brown early in the game try to go on a deep shot, and are narrowly out of bounds. Marquise had a step. I think Lamar missed him a couple times when he had one. At one point, he had a matchup with a linebacker on a wheel route out of motion, Akeem Davis Gaither. And you can just watch Gaither slowly starting to fade one on one. Definitely, you know, something you would like to see result in a big play, let alone a touchdown. So I think that the Bengals did a good job staying disciplined for the most part, but Lamar didn't always make them pay. And there were some times where there was just some easy throws underneath, and Lamar wanted to be really aggressive and spread the ball out and go for the big play. But when you're playing these disciplined defenses, the margin for error is decreased. So if you have something underneath, hit that, you know, win battles and wars that way. It's an easy way to survive as an NFL quarterback, to mitigate pressure, to help out your offensive line, to help out your play callers, to move the chains, all of those things. So maybe in the future when they play the Bengals again or play another team that might be deploying some of that, maybe the Vikings are going to do some similar things zone wise and rushing four. So overall, just got to be a little better there, a little sharper. It was an overall, you know, disappointing day for the offense and the defense in the end. So the Ravens did have a 17-13 lead. Lamar did well. I think that this is pure speculation, but he had a sore back a couple weeks ago, and it felt like maybe he wasn't really wanting to run much and kind of just wanted to run to get the bare minimum that he could get and end the play. But he looked really sharp in this one, made Jesse Bates miss a couple of times. And I think he's going to be fully kind of closer to 100% when it's been kind of a rough year for him with COVID and the back injury and, you know, having to run a lot, throw a lot, long games. So it's going to be good to let him get a breather, rest up, and get prepared for the second half run. I don't think he was terrible by any means. I don't think he's been terrible at all this season, aside from a couple bad interceptions here and there, but need to be a little sharper, need to be able to pick apart those zone defenses underneath.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. And hopefully he'll be able to improve and just work on some of those things during the bye week. But it is, you know, interesting taking into account the back injury and how much it could have impacted him so far this year. I think there's a lot of stuff with every NFL team that a lot of people aren't made aware about. So we'll see if that has impacted him, if he just looks a little bit sharper coming out of the bye. But Spencer, looking at the run game in this one in particular, Lamar Jackson averages 7.3 yards per carry. All non-Lamar Jackson Ravens ball carriers, just 2.3 yards on the ground combined. And it's been a topic of conversation all year with the Ravens losing J.K. Dobbins and losing Gus Edwards, just how big of an impact those two losses would have on the Ravens rushing offense. And with guys like Latavius Murray and Devonta Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, Tyson Williams, obviously there are no Dobbins, there are no Edwards, but the Ravens didn't have a lot of time to work with these guys. They didn't have a lot of options to bring in. Spencer, do you see some of the Ravens struggles in this run game, and especially in this game against Cincinnati, coming because maybe the running backs still aren't up to speed or just aren't what they used to be back in their prime? Or do you see it as a little bit of the offensive line isn't up to par, or is it both?
It's always both. It's going to be both in pretty much everything in such a team sport, 22 guys on the field at once and 53 guys on the roster. You know, it's always going to be both. And this offensive line feels like, especially without Stanley, they're average. It's an average offensive line. They have it's really disappointing to see how maybe below average they are, but they're being elevated to the point of being okay because of how much of a threat Lamar Jackson is with his legs and the general, you know, the Bengals didn't, they're not flying off the line of scrimmage. There were a couple bull rushes and things, but they generally were playing kind of low gear, waiting for Lamar to try to scramble a little bit more and some of those things. So to see the Ravens offensive line not really dominating against four-man and three-man rushes when the defense isn't really pinning their ears back is definitely concerning. In terms of the run game, it feels like when they face tough run defenses, this is the first year where they haven't been able to get over on any of them. The Colts really stymied them. The Broncos really stymied them. And the Bengals, a good run unit that or run defense unit that have DJ Reader in the middle there, as well as some smart linebackers. And, you know, they've got Sam Hubbard, who's a tough run defending edge player, and some smart safeties. Von Bell, Jesse Bates can make plays in the run game. They didn't win. They just didn't win those. Lamar Jackson had to be a little bit great to go get 80 something rushing yards, and they're not able to create a ton of movement or have any really dominant reps. And it's kind of the cherry on top with the backs is that you don't really have a back right now who can turn 3 yards into 7 yards like Gus Edwards was, or you don't really have a home run threat that's breaking angles and making guys miss and embarrassing people in the open field like J.K. Dobbins was. So They lack the ability to really generate a ton of movement up front, and they also don't have a home run threat aside from Lamar Jackson. So Tyson Williams has been relatively disappointing. We see him late towards the end of the game kind of just step out of bounds, and instead of trying to lower the shoulder, and maybe some of that is the psyche of being in the doghouse or things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, guys don't have to get put in the doghouse. If, you know, J.K. Dobbins is never going to go in the doghouse. Got things like that. We remember him fumbling last year. Then he comes in, scores a touchdown. John Harbaugh's picking grass out of his face mask. So, you know, telling him he's got a big heart, things like that. So it's a combination of both. And to think what it would be like with a averagely athletic quarterback that is not as dynamic as Lamar Jackson, it would be pitiful. It'd be one of the worst rushing attacks maybe, you know, in the last 5 years in the NFL. So they've got to do something. Nick Boyle's coming back. I think Pat Ricard, you know, didn't have a great game on Sunday, but having Ricard and Boyle and Andrews and even a Tomlinson, whoever, if they decide to keep Tomlinson over Oliver kind of active, then they can start to use some perimeter run concepts and some different things. And we'll see what they do if they're able to integrate another running back from free agency or, you know, a very cheap trade candidate, or if they're able to, you know, get in a trade deadline. We'll get into that later. So this offensive line's okay. The running backs are okay, and they're doing average. So nothing crazy.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that trade deadline in the final segment and see, you know, where the Ravens could improve if they can improve and everything. But, you know, you're right. The tough run defenses, the top ones, have given the Ravens some problems. And I agree with you, without Lamar Jackson and just how much of a threat he is both with his arm and with his legs, I mean, it's kind of tough to think about just where this team would be, because it wouldn't be great right now based off of how the run game is performing. We'll head into our first break, though. When we get back, we'll be diving into the defensive performance and just figuring out where things went wrong there. So stay tuned for that. Hey, Ravens fans, this is Kevin Allstriker with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about, in Get Upside. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. Cashback gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN. That's promo code TOUCHDOWN. We return here, our second segment of this Tuesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allstriker, your host, still here with Spencer Schultz of Baltimore Beatdown. And Spencer, as we kind of talked about in the first segment, this game was 13-10 at halftime. In week 7 against Cincinnati, the Ravens score that early touchdown in the third quarter and they have the lead. But then, you know, there's really poor tackling by the defense. Jamar Chase burns this team for over 200 yards. The secondary is not playing well. Marlon Humphrey has a pretty poor game overall after Anthony Averett in the first half and in the first quarter was spectacular, being targeted over and over and over again by Joe Burrow. So, Spencer, let's start off with the missed tackles and even some of the pressures that the Ravens couldn't turn into sacks in the first half, because we saw Justin Houston have his way with Jonah Williams for a while. Adafi Owe was getting some pressure. We saw some other pressure as well, but Joe Burrow was escaping. He used his escapability and mobility to get outside the pocket and work down that side, or down either side of the field, honestly, and he was able to make some throws when the Ravens just could not bring him down to the turf and maybe get their offense some better field position. How big of an impact, and obviously it's a pretty big one, did the missed tackles and the missed opportunities for sacks have on this team, especially when you get to the second half and it's only a 13-10 game?
Well, I think John Harbaugh summed it up best pretty simply. The Ravens will be a mediocre defense until they can finish and make tackles. And it's going to be an issue at any level of football. If you're unable to be a successful, you know, consistent tackling team, then you're going to lose games because of it. And it's happened multiple times now. The Ravens have put themselves in some really dire circumstances that Lamar Jackson has frankly bailed them out of. The Colts come to mind. The Chiefs come to mind, letting up long touchdowns over and over again. So Joe Burrow, clearly a guy who doesn't have the most velocity in his arm, not a super arm-talented guy. He's got great ball placement. He's smart and has good anticipation. But when you allow him to extend plays and break the pocket after kind of whiffing, a tough guy to bring down nonetheless, but when you whiff on him, you're allowing him to create, to have more time, to force coverage, to have to last that much longer. So you simply can't miss those. Adafi Owe learned that lesson the hard way early in the game. Burrow makes him miss with a little step back and rolls out and finds a big conversion on third down. That happened several times. They weren't able to really get Burrow down at all. There was a late sack, I think, in the red zone after the whole Ja'Marr Chase illegal touching debacle, which was a microcosm of how this game went. It just wasn't the Ravens' day. So the tackling issues plagued them, and it's been linebackers. It's been, you know, Patrick Queen, Malik Harrison. It's been some of those other, you know, Tyus Bowser missing tackles. Well, in this one, Deshaun Elliott missed more tackles than he made. Huge missed tackle on CJ Uzomah in the open field on the second touchdown where the Bengals run a fake screen. Elliott kind of breaks down, isn't decisive like we normally see him be, and doesn't go, you know, shoot his legs out or wrap him up quickly. He allowed Uzomah to get his wits about him and then make him miss. And that was really bad. We saw Anthony Averett make a business decision late on a Samaje Perine run that goes for, I think, 34-yard touchdown. Averett is really the only guy that could fill and hit, and he didn't. And Perine is not someone that I would want to hit by any stretch of the imagination. But you saw that business decision. But it's just ironic because, you know, Patrick Queen has started playing a little bit better, a little bit more consistently. Josh Bynes has done a nice job. Bowser hasn't been missing a ton of tackles. So it's, you know, the secondary was the tackling strength. Now they're the tackling weakness. Marlon Humphrey's missing tackles, you know, gets pushed off by CJ Uzomah in the longer touchdown and can't go wrestle him down, kind of, you know, flips around the front and gets spun around, and then Uzomah runs into the end zone. So it's just like, you know, you patch up one leak and then another one sprouts right out. You put some duct tape on it, you know, try to put some Flex Seal on it, and another one just bursts as well. So it's a perfect time for a bye week, a perfect time for this defense to look themselves in the face. And maybe looking forward, tackling is something that needs to be emphasized in the front office and in the draft process and the free agent process. And the Ravens need to make sure they have guys that can consistently get dudes on the ground. And I was a big Patrick Queen advocate, but missed tackles were a problem. He's kind of become the poster boy. Again, I think he's played well the last couple games, but something has to change in practice. Something has to change routinely. And I got a chance to speak with Ed Reed today, and I asked him about it. And he said, the NFL eventually, you know, you guys just got to do it or not. You're professionals at this point. You've been playing the game for 15, 20 years, a lot of guys. So eventually you got to just make plays. You have to choose to. You have to flip the switch. You have to do the right thing. So sometimes that can sound a little easier than actually executing it. But I think it is just so ironic to watch the Ravens play a Chargers team that maybe lacks some of the same juice after the catch or, you know, with the ball in their hands. And they played such a controlled, relaxed, you know, good, consistent game from a tackling perspective. And then just 1 week later, they don't have to go on the road or anything. Same place a week later. And this Bengals team just absolutely runs amok after the catch and in the open field. So some of that is, you know, making plays in space versus making plays in a phone booth is going to be a little bit more difficult at times, but it just doesn't feel like there's really any one apex predator right now. That's a guy like Deshaun Elliott, we've hoped would be, and has shown that at times, who can end plays, but there's just not a real finisher right now on this Ravens defense anywhere. No one is the guy that's constantly running down plays. It feels like, you know, Matt Judon was that guy, frankly, in the past that was ending plays. And we've seen a little bit of that from Odafe away, and we'll see what happens with Queen, who's had a reduced role getting reintegrated into the defense, but too many missed tackles. It's bleeding them to death on the back end, on the front end. Their defensive line got pushed around a little bit. So again, it just wasn't the Ravens game on Sunday, and it's time to take an honest look in the mirror in several areas. And tackling is the number one area that guys need to start being better, plain and simple. No more excuses.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I agree with the fact that, you know, Patrick Queen has been kind of like the guy put at the front of this whole missed tackle thing, but it's a lot of the defense. You mentioned Deshaun Elliott, and I think Queen has also played better in his role, but it has to get figured out. Tackling is one of the key components of football, just from a very basic level. Like, it's one of the first things that, you know, you think about when you think about football. It's all right, getting the guy on the ground. Like, so these plays can literally be a 6-yard gain if you get the guy on the ground. Instead, for example, with Ja'Marr Chase, he's running however many yards that touchdown was down the field and scoring. So it's just getting a guy on the ground and making sure that you get up and just play the next play instead of having 6 points put up on you or having a big yardage play put up on you, I think is very massively important. But Spencer, looking at the secondary, Joe Burrow tore the secondary apart after, you know, a really good first quarter, first half by Anthony Averett, where he was getting targeted repeatedly and really stepped up to the plate. You know, when a Ravens defense or when any defense has a player like Marlon Humphrey on it, you kind of want to avoid that player as best you can. But then Humphrey starts getting burned by Ja'Marr Chase, and everything just seemed to spiral in the second half after Baltimore took that lead early in the third quarter. So, Spencer, what did you see out of this Ravens secondary, and how was Joe Burrow able to just really tear them apart in the second half? And do you think it had anything to do with maybe a few communication issues on the back end?
I think it was a little bit of stubbornness in game planning, and the Ravens held the Bengals offense in check for pretty much the entire first half and into the second or into the third quarter a little bit. And so it kind of all just went downhill fast, and Marlon Humphrey was doing an okay job on Ja'Marr Chase. Chase had made a couple plays at the end of the first half. He has a catch and run, and it just felt like the Ravens weren't able to change their game plan. I think a lot of it had to do with leaving voids in the middle of the field. And I think it's time to put Joe Burrow on the do not blitz list where Patrick Mahomes is. Doesn't work. The Bengals will go empty, or the Bengals started then switching from empty into split back. So as opposed to going empty, they were taking two players, a tight end and a running back, and putting them in the backfield to able to shore up pass protection a little bit, leaving huge voids of space. And they trusted Ja'Marr Chase, basically, as well as T. Higgins to get open. And Tyler Boyd had a quiet game. I think Tavon Young did a good job against him for the most part and some things. But you can't leave these huge voids of space over the middle of the field. And it doesn't make sense considering that Joe Burrow isn't this great strong-armed, you know, Josh Allen or Trevor Lawrence or Baker Mayfield that just drives the ball to the sideline with velocity and snap and all these things. So maybe you want to crowd the middle of the field and force them to play kind of inside out instead of being able to play outside in. The voids in the middle of the field made it easy. Joe Burrow was ready for these blitzes. The Bengals had a plan of action, which is split back. And frankly, when teams rotate into split back, we heard Jimmy Smith say it in Wired to Marlon Humphrey after he let up a deep touchdown to the Lions, I believe, or I can't, a couple of weeks ago, where Jimmy Smith told Marlon Humphrey, when they go two back, they're probably going to take a shot because they have everything blocked up. You're going to have seven blockers. The offensive line doesn't have to play this guessing game of, should I get the mugged up linebacker, or should I get the three tech, or should I get the five tech? It's just man on a man. And then those two backs can go fill, split out. And that's what we end up seeing Samaje Perine get a 25-yard gain on third down because of that on the play where Odafe Oweh missed. But when teams do that, the Ravens need to get rid of, they need to be able to check out of those blitzes, check into something more conservative, and go drop seven into coverage against three routes and see if four can get home. Justin Houston is a good pass rusher. Odafe Oweh can get after the passer as well. Calais Campbell can get after the passer. Justin Madubuike can get after the passer. So, you know, Tyus Bowser, if you do want to blitz, maybe rush one corner or one linebacker and crowd the middle of the field again. So I think when the Ravens play the Bengals again, if they're wise, they will crowd the middle of the field, drop more, and force the Bengals to sustain long drives. The Bengals didn't score a single time from inside the red zone. They threw an interception in the red zone when one of the pressures worked after that Ja'Marr Chase illegal touching situation. And at the end of the day, you can't trust one player to stop Ja'Marr Chase right now. I think the lesson learned, again, play him inside leverage. Do not give up inside leverage. Marlon Humphrey, you know, if you're willing to die with the floating ball to the sideline, you trust Marlon Humphrey to recover, just like on that illegal touching play. Humphrey ends up ripping the ball out, but that's limiting those opportunities for Yak. Use the sideline as a defender on Ja'Marr Chase. Do not let him win inside. And he'll still win inside. So, you know, easier said than done. Buzzing some underneath defenders, some hook to curl defenders under Ja'Marr Chase, probably a good idea. You're going to have to make Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins beat you the next time you play them, which they are capable of doing, but they're not as capable as Ja'Marr Chase is. So, you know, Marlon Humphrey, I've been making this comparison. You know, he's a killer whale in press coverage. He's an apex predator. Well, until the megalodon, until the historic great beast Ja'Marr Chase unearths, Kevin, you and I were talking before this. It's like he's some sort of built-in-a-lab love child between Antonio Brown and A.J. Brown. And He's bigger than AB. He's a little quicker and faster than AJ Brown. He's the real deal Holyfield. So one guy's not going to do it. AJ Green leaves the division, and now Ja'Marr Chase is back into it. So it's maybe a better version of AJ Green, which was crazy to say considering where he was a few years ago. But right now he's looking like one of the best, if not the best, receivers in the NFL. And guess what? His buddy from LSU, Justin Jefferson, is probably licking his chops right now, knowing, be able to get some notes from him, text him, whatever, if they have time, and give a little insight. So Ravens are going to have their hands full with Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson. Luckily, they don't really have a ton of threats outside of that in the past game, so you can maybe devote a little bit more resources to stopping them. But Kirk Cousins has been really good, and this Ravens defense needs to get it right into this Vikings game and go win and be 6-2 and get your confidence back going into the second half and having some road trips on the docket, some more division play on the docket.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I think this loss will be a good thing in the long run. You never want to lose a game, but I think this will serve as kind of like a wake-up call. I know there are a couple of situations and games in previous years where you can compare this type of loss to. I go back to 2019 week four. I know other people have as well. I know there are other games. I know the Houston game a few years ago, people look at that one as well. But I think this loss will be big for the defense in just terms of just getting things right with the tackling, with some of the scheme things, and just getting players on the same page with each other. So I'm hopeful and excited for what this team can do coming out of the bye. I think they will recover, but of course they have to put in the work to do that. And I think they will. We'll head into our final break, though. When we return, we'll be diving into a bit of just where the Ravens are right now, as well as some trade candidates and trade options for the Ravens. So stay tuned for that. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the football season, as well as the start of basketball season with the new web interface with more props, odds, and lines that are better than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure out from pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They have everything you can need, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So go to rockauto.com right now and see the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On, and they had you here about us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. We return here our final segment of this Taco Tuesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with Spencer Schultz. We talked about that Ravens and Bengals game, the Ravens losing it 41-17 in week seven. But Spencer, there is a lot to look ahead to, especially with the trade deadline quickly approaching. Some trades have already been made. You know, Ravens legend Joe Flacco going back to the New York Jets in a trade from the Philadelphia Eagles. And a lot of people have been speculating and kind of talking about if this Ravens team could or should make any moves ahead of the trade deadline, because there are certainly some holes, but there are a few salary cap restrictions that this team is looking at right now in terms of just how much money they can invest in a trade and invest in a player. Obviously, the draft capital comes up as well. Spencer, do you see the Ravens making a move this time around? I know we talk about Marcus Peters in 2019 and Yannick Ngakoue in 2020. Is there any way that you see the Ravens making a move at the trade deadline this year? And if so, what position would you like to see them add at?
Well, at this point, it really has to be offensive tackle, especially with Patrick McCary probably out for at least a month. I would imagine he has a stay on injured reserve. Most likely a high ankle sprain is a devastating injury that takes a really long time to recover, and it really never does. So with that being said, I think Morgan Moses is a really great option. The New York Jets, Zach Wilson's out. They have Joe Flacco for 2 to 4 weeks. Morgan Moses, a consistent veteran that maybe doesn't have, you know, he's not great anymore, but still is going to be more experienced than whoever's going to get trotted out there, Tyree Phillips or whomever it is. I think that there's a couple other intriguing options. Andre Dillard's been floated around. He's played on the right side and the left side. I'm not sure if he's a great fit schematically for what the Ravens like to do. He's more of an athletic kind of gliding guy. He would allow Villanueva to stay at left tackle most likely. So I think that those are two both intriguing. Both of those are intriguing options. Terrence Mitchell, the cornerback from the Texans, would also be a nice addition, it feels like. Anyone on the Texans, really. They're going to have a fire sale. So you can probably look there into the New York Jets as well. So at this point, you're going to have to make do with whatever the crumbles of the cookie are, whatever the little trail of crumbs left is, because there's not a ton out there. You're not going to be able to go trade cheap and get some, you know, cheap, good offensive tackle. But Morgan Moses is a veteran. I think he's someone that has stayed relatively healthy throughout his time in the NFL. And he's, you know, fine. He's probably might be even be a better option than Patrick McCary by a hair or someone that's relatively close. He's going to be more of a traditional offensive tackle that doesn't have as many limitations. You probably trust him to do some things. So the Jets are probably going to be able to hold you up against the wall a little bit there, but I think it's just a little bit negligent to not make a move like that if that's something you can do and the Jets are interested in because of who Lamar Jackson is, what he's capable of, what you have going right now. And just frankly, from a health perspective, do you want him getting assaulted, getting jittery? I think it's bad to have him be in year four and still really dreading this offensive line situation. And of course, you know, Ronnie Stanley, his health situation has been worse than ever expected, basically missing 2 years, a year and a half plus because of that ankle injury. So you're behind the eight ball. Orlando Brown's in Kansas City now, and you've got to do something. So unless you're just really going to ride it out and try and, you know, get those 9-10 wins and see if you can get into the playoffs and kind of have a repeat of the last couple of years and have the offensive line not be good enough, and you go play a team like the Bills or play a team like, you know, the Bengals or another team that's able to beat up your offensive line, it limits your playbook. It limits what you can do offensively. So looking there would be a really good idea in general. I think that Morgan Moses would be a really nice solution. There's a couple other names out there. The Seahawks tackle that recently was let go out of Texas and some other options, but it's going to be tough. You can look to the DB room as well. You could also look maybe to an Akeem Hicks. I'm not sure how the numbers would work out on that, but the Bears, a team that probably, you know, going to be selling, especially if they lose again. So defensive interior, offensive tackle, defensive back. Those are the places to look. Running back as well. Who knows? The name I've kind of flirted with is James Robinson, but feels like the Jags probably are just going to hold on to him and see what they can do, especially with Travis Etienne having the Lisfranc injury and then James Robinson playing so darn well lately. So, you know, there's backs, there's some cheap backs somewhere, some way, somehow. They've been rolling with Devontae Freeman and Bell. And of course, Latavius Murray suffers an injury when he was starting to look pretty sharp. So just adds a fourth injured back to the list there. But Le'Veon Bell's been all right. I don't hate Le'Veon Bell's rotational back. I think Freeman's been pretty effective and nice in the pass game and able to make some smart runs, especially over the last couple of weeks, but all areas you could look to. And there might be some waived players coming down the pipeline in November after the trade deadline kind of ends and teams might be looking to go younger, get some, you know, once teams are starting to look like 1-8 and 2-9 and things like that, they might look for some practice squad guys to be able to make plays and part ways with some veterans that want to go win. So other than that, it looks like Mitchell Schwartz is probably done playing football. He looks like he's like maybe 240 pounds right now. The classic offensive line retirement that loses a bunch of weight. So it looks like he's enjoying himself. But other than that, it's on defense, it's tackling. I don't know where you could look specifically. If you want to look at linebacker, maybe, but you have a first rounder. Josh Bynes is playing well. You've got Harrison, you got Board, all these options. So defensively, really DBs just to pile up if you can get an extra one just in case, because you're really depending on Tavon Young and Jimmy Smith to be healthy right now. And those two guys are, you know, God bless the talent they have, what great players and great Ravens they've been, but kind of flirting with fire there to expect them to be able to last the rest of the season. But other than that, it's really just got to be an offensive tackle. And I think Morgan Moses is the perfect cost and play style and age and solution right now for the Ravens. And I think they need to go get him right now.
Yeah, they need a tackle. I mean, I agree, Spencer. It's just they don't really have anybody else there. You know, they're putting Tyree Phillips out there right now, and he just, you know, he doesn't have it, it seems like, at this point. And he played great at guard in week one, but that's not where he's asked to play right now. So they need somebody who can step in. And as you mentioned, not have Lamar Jackson dread the blitz and dread all this pressure and have guys break through, because I think it does all start up front, both in the run game and in the pass game as well. But Spencer, kind of leading into the next question here, which will be the last one, about just where you feel this Ravens team is right now. Obviously, the injuries have taken a toll, but they're 5-2 heading into the bye. I think a lot of people, you know, if we were talking back in late August, would have taken that, or early September would have taken that heading into the bye with really big wins against a lot of good teams in there. Do you feel like this team still has a very high ceiling this year? You know, obviously the loss of the Bengals puts a couple of things in perspective, but just where are you on this team right now?
I think it's a playoff team. I think you've got a quarterback that's carrying the heaviest load that maybe anyone carries. I'm excited to see what Rashad Bateman can do after the bye. Mark Andrews, Sammy Watkins, Marquise Brown, and Bateman would make a really nice sort of quadrant or diamond of receivers, if you whatever you want to call it, a four-way that would be able to do some damage. I'm excited to see what Bateman can do as he gets more time with Jackson. It felt like there was some really nice moments. I like what I see from him and what he's able to do, and excited to see what he can do with a little more confidence now and being able to chill and assess, and he's removed from the injury a little bit. So I think Hollywood Brown's been great. Mark Andrews has been great. And I would love to see Watkins able to get back out there. So if they acquire Morgan Moses or someone like that, got to be decently confident in the offense. Defensively, there's issues going on. And is it going to take one of those, you know, cliche players only meetings? Because Marlon Humphrey got embarrassed. Deshaun Elliott got embarrassed. Patrick Queen's been embarrassed. You know, this entire defense has had really poor moments. Brandon Williams might have had the worst game of his career this past week. It's been pretty tough. The Ravens have allowed the most touchdowns over 40 yards in the NFL by a margin. They've allowed 7 of those. I don't think they've ever allowed 7 in a season, if I'm not mistaken. They have allowed 400-yard passers. While passing yards don't win games, clearly they're unable to really prevent long yards after the catch and things like that. Travis Kelce comes to mind. Jonathan Taylor comes to mind. Ja'Marr Chase comes to mind. I mean, good players, great players are devastating the Ravens after the catch. It's unacceptable. I think Wink Martindale needs to be a little bit more conservative, because you can't keep letting your defense get beat this way. But they were aggressive against the Bengals, and they were conservative against the Chiefs, and they play too high defense, and Travis Kelce still runs through 4 tackles and rumbles into the end zone. So maybe it's just a personnel and a talent issue. Maybe it's a, you know, identity issue defensively, and something needs a change in practice. So with all that being said, it's a team that's at least going to be fighting for the playoffs. They still could win their division very easily. They could still win the one seed in the AFC for all we know. So there's a lot of uncertainty. They've been really inconsistent, and John Harbaugh's teams are usually better after the bye. They usually get better in the winter months. And right now, offensive tackle is what's really holding this team back. It feels like you have to put Pat Ricard in that split wing. You have to, you know, give help, and you can't run as many 5-man route concepts, and you can't, you know, do this, 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 or this, because you are having such a liability at tackle. The quick passing game needs to get sped up. But at the end of the day, you've got Lamar Jackson. You've got some good playmakers now in terms of the receiving game. And I think they're going to keep getting better in that area as long as they find a viable option at right tackle. Tyree Phillips isn't that. Juwan James is this, like, prince who's promised Azor Ahai of Game of Thrones. And in reality, he's like a 30-year-old tackle that's coming off of a torn Achilles, which is a really horrific injury to recover, especially when you're a 300-pound athlete that's not exactly a spring chicken anymore. So I don't know if that's going to happen. McCary's probably going to miss a month. And you're probably, if you don't figure out something, you're probably going to bleed to death and lose a game or two that you shouldn't, because you're going to make Lamar Jackson jumpy again. It's history repeating itself. And a lot of it, again, is Ronnie Stanley. But at the end of the day, you don't want Lamar Jackson jumpy. You don't want him feeling uncomfortable in the pocket because he doesn't trust his offensive line. You need to dedicate, you need to scour the earth right now and find Dillard or Moses or whoever the best number one A answer is. Do you want to trade a first round pick, a second round pick, or even a third round pick for them? No, but I think you owe it to Lamar Jackson to do something right now. And you owe it to yourself. You know, it's been worse. The Ravens have lost 6 games before and won a Super Bowl, or lost, you know, 5 in a row and won a Super Bowl. So I think Marshawn Lynch on Monday Night Football just said, yeah, winning a Super Bowl is kind of random. Eli over here won one because someone made a helmet catch. So you owe it to yourself to try and get in that dance and make sure that Lamar Jackson feels good and you keep him upright. So go get Morgan Moses. Go get someone else that can play some right tackle, and see if you can get healthy with Nick Boyle, and let Lamar Jackson do what he can do. And at the end of the day, I feel like this team could be very successful, find themselves in an AFC championship game. I don't think they're ready to be in a Super Bowl or anything like that. The defense is playing horrifically right now. So that might be the Achilles heel right now, so to speak. And at the end of the day, you know, another playoff run, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we've seen such a leap from Lamar Jackson this year in terms of just how confident he looks in the pocket this year. And I think that's a big thing to keep with him. So I agree that if you start seeing him become a bit more unsure of himself because the offensive line isn't doing their job and they just don't have the talent on the offensive line, it could become a very big issue. So look, I'm excited for this team. You know, I think that, again, they can recover, but they do have some things to work out, both just with the guys they already have in house, as well as hopefully some new additions that they will bring into the organization. But Spencer, that's all that I have for you today. Thank you so much for joining me once again. Do you have anything on the docket this week that you want people to know about?
Another week of Watch It Wednesdays. On Wednesday night, I'll be breaking down this game in detail. and going through some of the coaches' film, the All 22, if you want to learn a little bit more or be a part of a live stream where there's comments and you can engage with other Ravens fans. If you can't catch it on Wednesday night, it will be posted to Baltimore Beatdown on Thursday. Other than that, I had the lovely blessing to interview Ed Reed today. Had a one-on-one with Ed Reed presented by Crown Royal, so that'll be posted on Baltimore Beatdown podcast on all RSS feeds, Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff, as well as on YouTube. So look for that to be posted. If it hasn't been posted already, it should be posted in the morning. So by the time you're listening to this, that should be posted. Ed, I asked Ed a couple questions about, you know, how do you get better at tackling? What's the best coaching advice you've ever had? Some things like that. So that was a fun time, quick one. I think it was about 13 and a half minutes. So make sure to listen to that. Other than that, make sure to go give Kevin 5 stars, share this podcast with a friend. Locked On Ravens is great. Kevin gives you the best daily Ravens coverage to reward the man who works so hard to make sure that you stay informed, stay entertained, and feel like you have somebody to talk with about the Ravens, even if it's kind of just more him talking to you or me talking to you or whoever it is. So thanks again for having me on, Kevin. And I look forward to talking to the Locked On Ravens audience next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And be sure to check out Spencer's work. I mean, an interview with Ed Reed, you can't miss that. So be sure to tune in and see what Spencer asked Ed Reed. But that's all that we have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. When we get back tomorrow, we'll be answering your mailbag questions. So stay tuned for that. And I will see you tomorrow.